your name will be on the food restaurant, but up beside it will be selling alcohol, but it won't be attached. The guy said, forget. All this one of I'm not doing. He turned down something that was going to make him millions of dollars annually. Of course, what they were after is that with that money, we can, you know, okay, we'll donate $1 million annually to your charity. Thank you very much. Then when somebody wants to get stoned out, you walk into a George Foreman restaurant and gets drunk. No, I don't care how much money you are giving to my charity. My name stands for something bigger than cash. Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes, sir.
Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes, sir.
Listen, for us Christians, I need to emphasize this thing. That's why, you know, I said we should read from Psalm 37, and I spent a lot of time. I need to analyze something in that Psalm 37. And I said that there are two stages to life. That's where I ended with last time. Let me try and settle on that. I'll take some time today, please, because I really have many things to say. I said life has two stages. Let me quickly sit with that before I get back to this Psalm 37, which is why we read in that Luke chapter 19. What God is going to do in your life that's going to be great is pure grace. What did I call it? I need to hear that word again.
Pure grace.
That last word?
Pure grace.
No, the last word. Word.
Grace.
One more time.
Grace.
Let me tell you what grace is. Grace is that which happens to you that surprises you. That's a good way to put it. Something that happens to you and you too are surprised. That is grace. Grace is, let's talk about money as an example. Again, George Foreman, we're talking about now. Grace is when somebody says, Mr. Foreman, all you need to do is let's just use your name here, and everything they are doing is just in line with righteousness. Everything is correct. George Foreman doesn't go there, but they pay him $10 million every year while doing righteousness with his name. That is grace. Please listen. Grace is when everybody contributes money to support something that you dreamt about, and the thing is just flying, you know, working smoothly, and you are sleeping very well. Grace is the opposite of sleeplessness. Did you see how I described it? You're not staying awake to make things happen. I told you, I told the story before of Faith Alive Clinics in Jos. The last time I saw Dr. Chris Isiche in Enugu here, he said, Dr. Banky, I've entered into rest. And I need to emphasize to you what it means by rest. Some will say, is he now flying a private jet? I'm not aware it was going anywhere private, so that was not the issue. The man didn't have a mobile phone at that time. Yeah, by choice. When he says, I've entered into rest, what does it mean that I had entered into rest? He had entered into rest. The dream he had was to provide free health care for people. That was the dream he had. At that point, his former clinic had burnt down. Some people who heard of what he was doing, they built him another clinic and equipped it for 100 million naira. Well, the same people, another set of people, they were paying salaries for 10 doctors to work for him. And all kinds of things were flowing into the place. His colleagues were coming to work part-time, specialists we are talking about here, and he wasn't paying them anything. So he said, the days of my struggling to make sure this thing works has gone. He said, now I don't even have to go there. A free clinic was running with all cylinders firing, like they say. And he was looking at it from a distance. Who has begotten me all this wealth, all these children? Do you get my point? He said, I've entered into rest. What was his rest? That the dream, the vision I had, at least in one major dimension, has been fulfilled. So now I had a new, of course, that's how it is. When you're not dead, you must see new horizons. So now we will now start extension services. We'll start moving to remote areas. One day we'll have a medical school where we can teach people that medicine is not about money. It's about health delivery. That's the second stage of life I'm talking about. Now, he is giving out free of charge, but it's not everybody that is in that line because there are different aspects of life. Grace is the same way he said, I've entered into rest. God may command you to go and make money. You also see me one day and say, Pastor, I've entered into rest. Say, what do you mean? Say, whether I work or not, I make at least 100 million naira on a monthly basis. So now we can really do what we want to do. Now, this university, as they say, is expensive. My friends and I are going to build one, and we're going to try our best to make it as cheap as is possible and be open to as many people as possible. I've entered into rest. I don't even have to work to earn money anymore. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
That's the second stage of life I'm talking about. Again, it doesn't even have to be like that. It may be that you are still working, but you are using... Look, listen, those who make maybe ₦1 million every other week, they are not sweating more than that guy who's digging fibre cable. You've seen those guys on the road? Digging, that is, man, those guys, they try. They dig all over Nigeria, crisscross like this, manually. You can be sure of one thing. They're exerting more energy than the people who own the fibre cables and the telecom companies. The difference is that they haven't entered into rest. They are still laboring. Hopefully, one day they will enter into rest. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So, when you have entered into rest, this is what I'm saying. The same effort you were putting in and yielding 10 units of result, you put in a similar amount of effort and you get 10,000 units of result. Why? Because grace has been poured upon you and is amplifying the effort that you are putting in. Grace is that amplifier that God puts into your life. That you say something small here, and a whole stadium is filled with the sound of your voice. That is called grace. And let me say something to you. If you are going to endure in prosperity, in fruitfulness, in multiplication, it has to be because you are walking by grace. Let me quickly drop this one also. There's something we said in verse Psalm 37. Look back inside it. I want to bring out something that he said there. I want to emphasize something. He said from verse 7. Okay, sorry. Go to verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Please. There's a reason why I'm smiling about this. He said, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Grace comes to you as a result of trust. That grace we have described, it comes as a result of what? Trust. There is one thing I want to say. I've said it before, but let's keep saying it. There is nothing, please hear me. There is nothing, let me say one more time, nothing that you want to achieve in life that if it was just sincerely, no fasting, you know this, let me go on 10 days fast before I say it. You know, no groaning, nothing. Just early one morning, wake up, sit on your bed, and in 5 minutes, make a sincere request to God concerning, all right? There is nothing you will pray like that concerning in your life that God will not do it if you trust him. Now, I'm talking to, you know, some people say that Jesus just said, whatever, whosoever. You know, I always say that. He didn't say that to the Pharisees. He said that to who? His disciples. So what I'm saying to the disciples of the Word of God. I'm not talking to those who sit down and say, me too, I want to be able to have all my 5 different colors at the same time. Pastor Frank said we should pray to the Lord. I want to pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, give me 5 hummus in 5 different colors. They say you will do it if I trust you. I trust you. I am not talking to such a one. That is pure carnal mindedness. Every material thing, I'm talking to those who understand what I'm about to say. Every material thing is a tool. You hear what I said? Everyone is what? A tool. We don't sit there and say, God, if one day I'll just have 10 cutlasses. That's not the issue. What you want to do with it is the prayer point we are talking about. And you can never... There are prayers you don't pray to God because they are not prayers. I mean, they are not hard. You wake up early in the morning to talk to the Lord. Lord, what is the issue? One day, Lord, let me be able to eat and be full. God will say to you, you are a fool. People who make belly prayer points, they are fools. They don't know what life is about. We're not talking about people like that. I'm talking to those who understand that life has a purpose. And that maybe they sense a call. As an example, I was given earlier, if that education. Right now, all they have is a small daycare center and a primary school. And they sit down and say, God, Hope that all these people from this area that I know will be able to go to university without paying too much money. I would like to be able to do it. And they pray sincerely. Listen to me, it will happen. Let me tell you, you know, I said it once in a while. Let me tell you the reason why I like men like Bishop David Oyedepo. You see, they say he flies how many private jets? Four. Let me quote for you what he said, so that you can deliver yourself from bondage. He said, we're about to buy, which one was it, our third or fourth then? We're buying our third private plane, and I have no apologies to any devil. So in case you are one of the devils, no apology for you. And as for me and my house, if I see him today, I will say, sir, I do not have plenty of money to buy you a whole plane. But this should be able to buy a few liters of aviation fuel. I will give him money for aviation fuel. Why? I'll tell you why I'm talking about it. The number of universities he's building as of today in Nigeria is four. Covenant University is in full gear. Landmark is, I don't know, have they taken off? They're supposed to start building this January. Crown in Calabar. It's another one my friend told me about that's supposed to be in Nasarawa, Abuja Axis.
Kings.
Has it started too? But it's going to come up. Yes. You know why you must never open your mouth and say anything about that, those kind of things? Because these are dreams men had when they had nothing. Now God is bringing to pass. Are you a devil to be criticizing it? Let them close all these private universities. You will find out that Nigerian government can't cope. He said, people are going there. You know, it's so expensive. At least those rich people have left UNN for you. They have left UNN. They have left ESUT. These rich people you are talking about, if they close the private university and they return, they will display these poor people you are complaining about. They are the friends of the vice chancellors, of the deans. They are the professors. They are the ones that can dash university 5 million naira. And they will gladly give their children admission to any course. Change cut off mark to please them. Some men have risen. Now, what you are saying is not correct anyway, but let's even assume you are right. That is too expensive. At least they have eased the pressure in other places. We should rejoice. I dare all of you. Please, my wife, remind me to do this. Go and get the account number of those universities. And please pay at least 500 naira in as a sign that God will do greater things in your life too. I'm not saying so you see, though. You know that kind of nonsense seed. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying let's express our faith that, sir, we are not angry with you. We are happy with you. We pray that God will lift you up. Is it only four you want to do, sir? What's wrong with 14? There are people you should start praying for that they must not die. Say, God, in case they want to die, all these armed robbers, kill them and use them to replace it. They're not dead, they're fine. There are people you should be praying for. You wake up in the morning. Father, in the name of Jesus today, listen. Instead of his plane to crash, let us all unbelievers who are criminals, jagudas, who are these cocaine pushers in Bolivia, let their plane crash instead. If it is plane that must crash, did you not say that you give men in ransom for their lives? God, go ahead and do it. It's a good prayer to pray for them. Say, Lord, they must live. They must not die. Why am I excited about people like that? I'll tell you simply. Because I am aware that this, what you are saying, you know, they said to Peter, you guys are drunk. He said, no, we are not drunk. This is that which was spoken of. Are you getting my point? When I see these things happen, I've been listening to him talk since 1990. And there is nothing he's doing now he didn't describe then. 24 years ago. What men, what women conceive one day and trust God concerning will come to pass on this earth one day. It might be 20 years. That's what I'm saying to you. Just wake up one day and say, Lord, I'm a Lord of broadcasting. Yes, to use the word Lord is okay because he said he's Lord of Lords and he's King of what?
Kings.
So he said to God, I am the Lord of broadcasting. I am a king in the media. I am a lord in education. But now I am small. So I say, Lord, make me that I might reflect your glory in this area that I believe my lordship and my kingship is over. Do it in the name of Jesus. I'm saying to you again, according to the word of God, if you will trust him, one day he will bring it to pass. He will. That day he will bring it to pass is the stage two I'm talking about. But let's now get back to the message in stage one. It's okay, before he brings it to pass, what do I do? Some start networking, start scheming, start plotting. The issue is that you don't know how God will bring it to pass, so it is impossible for you to scheme he's bringing it to pass. We read from Luke chapter 19. You know what he said? There are two stages of life. I said to you last time, the first stage is the stage of what? Occupation. If you listen to one of my messages, I talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. In that one, I divided the seasons of life into, the first one was the season of sit down and count. The second one was the season of the trial of your faith. And I talked about the season of fruitfulness. And then they talked about the season of multiplication and dominion. I think there are four. All right, first one was sit down and count. Then the second one is the trial of your faith. Okay, the other one was, I think, season of rest or something like that. Something like that. Anyway, but if you look at it, if you lay side by side what I'm talking about today, the last phase in that one is the stage two I'm talking about now. And every other thing is in the first phase. In that stage two, don't bother to you. If you go back to that Luke chapter 19, you will notice, he said to them, do what? Occupy. Be occupied. That's the way I like to read it now. Be occupied with this until I come. When will I come? I'm not going to tell you. Remember, the coming is the season of great grace. That is coming is the season in which that thing that you sat at the head of your bed one morning, you looked out of your window as a primary school teacher, as a secondary school teacher, and you said, oh, that you will bless me indeed, like Jabez said. And then you left it for him and said, Lord, this is what I want you to do. I dare to say this to you. Many times, even you will forget. I said that you should keep it in your front of you. Don't worry about it. No, forget Buddhism. All right? Forget all these things. Don't worry. You say, well, what if I forget? Listen, go and ask Joseph. He too forgot. Many of those things, you will remember them only when, that dream only when it has happened. You think Joseph remembered it? Yes, I dreamt. Yes, I'm going to see Pharaoh. Blessed, the dream won't come. My. When he was going to see Pharaoh, he thought there was trouble. Look at his life now. He was at peace in his father's house. They sold him into slavery. He was enjoying as a slave. They said he committed when he did not commit. They put him in the dungeon. So when they bring him before the king, what do you think is happening? They're about to remove his head. Listen, I've read the Bible enough, reason about life enough, and I know that Joseph was not remembering anything. So, you know, he started learning the doctrines like Joseph was calling those things to be not as soon as they were, and he was putting it in front of him, and he said, I will never forget, my dream was being in front of me. Lie. What did I say?
Lie.
All those things, sometimes they are products of idleness. That's why you have to be putting photograph in front of you. Bros, if they kidnap Lot, you won't remember Isaac. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm remembering Isaac. You're going to be pursuing Lot. What was Joseph doing? He was just busy being Joseph. That's what I want to emphasize. The knock on the gates of the prison that day to call him out to come and see Pharaoh was a surprise to him. I hope you know that. If it wasn't a surprise, he would have been prepared. He was not prepared. Some soldier just arrived. Come. Yeah, that's him. That one. Joseph, it looks like they are pointing at you. Me? It can't be me. So he wants to move away. No, that one moving away. Yes, that's him. Hey, you. His name is Joseph. Joseph, come. Ah, guys, it don't happen. What this time? I didn't try anything. They didn't tell him anything. The Oba wants to see you. All right, sir. What is that? Beer. Come and cut that thing. They take it to one corner. They Oh God, please get my point. They dressed him up. All this sort of look like where you are going. Listen. Oh God. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm trying to explain something. The guy didn't look like where he was going. He looked like where he was at that time. How does one of look like where you are going? Bros, there's a kind of place where you will be. To just look like where you are right now is what you are praying to God for. Can he look like where? Does he know where he's going? If he had to dress like where he's going, he will grow longer, baby. I hope you know that. Because he thinks he's going to be a ruler in his father's land. All his negotiation was how to get back home. They dressed him up, put what he needed on him, and threw him into the chariot and said, come. And then God said, this is how when you approach the king, this is how you behave. You bow like this, do like that. Don't raise your head until he says, lift your head. Yes, sir. He did exactly as he was told. It was when he got there, he knew what the problem was. The king had a dream. All right, let me hear the dream, sir. They told him the dream. And as they were telling the dream, interpretation was coming to him. The solution, everything. In fact, God was just giving him understanding. He was like, why can't all of you see this thing? The king by himself decided, I'm saying to you, until that day, Joseph did not know his time was about to turn. He did not know. I said to you earlier, the king will come. What did I say? The king will come. He said, occupy until I come. First thing I want you to leave here with again today is know for certain that he's going to come. He said, do this until. Now, let me tell you the meaning of do this until. That is, I must meet you doing this. That is, this must be your habit till that day. That is, you must not discontinue doing it until. One day, my wife and I were discussing when Elisha said to the king, shoot the arrow. And the king, you know, he told him to shoot. He shot an arrow. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from this and so. And I said, okay, strike the earth. My wife asked a simple question because the guy struck 3 times and stopped. My wife said, why? How will he have known that he was supposed to strike more? Because Elisha said, why did you stop? Now you are going to defeat Aram 3 times. You should have struck like 7 times, then you will have finished them completely. My wife said, how will he have known? Even me, I thought about it. I said, well, maybe what happened was that was not something he was supposed to do, more like it was a reflection of the zeal that was inside his heart. So it was a prophetic manifestation for Elisha to interpret. I said, maybe. However, I said, there's a lesson in it. Next time the prophet says strike, start striking. If he doesn't say stop, don't stop. I said, that is it. That's the lesson from it. He says, strike, no problem. If he dies while you are striking, that's it. Shall strike for life. I said, that was a lesson in it. That's why, listen, let me tell you something. One of the things that happens in life. For those of you who don't understand, I'll say this to you. The dreams and ideas I have about ministry, I have not accomplished a tenth of it yet. What am I saying? A tenth. It has not begun. Do you understand my point? Yet, last year made it 10 years that I've been teaching every Saturday apart from weekend on this platform. Apart from December's. Since 2003. Sometimes when the year is ending, I tell myself, now you have said everything. There's nothing else to say. And there's nothing that you know to say. So I told myself, that's not a problem. We'll start again. Listen, go and if you are a keen disciple of Pastor Banky, listen to my messages. You can narrow everything I preach into like 4 topics. And I'm not in bad company. Ken Higginson, I can narrow it to 3. For more than 60 years, I can narrow it to 3. Miles Monroe is only 3. Potential, purpose, kingdom, 3. Find me another one. It's potential, purpose, kingdom. Me too, I've looked at Pastor Frank and said, maybe 4. So what is the temptation? I said, okay, Abel, we don't preach, finish. Listen, strike. See, this is my striking. No, in case you don't know, 2003, since then, till now. It was 10 years last year. Every Saturday apart from December, I've been here preaching. Sometimes along the line, we added initially it was Mondays, then we moved it to Tuesdays, so you add that one to it. Every week, two times a week, for more than 7 years. Okay, I don't know, one was added Tuesday one, I don't know how many years afterwards. But the Saturday one is over 10 years now. When are you going to stop? Until the Lord comes and says this is the next stage you are supposed to step into. If nothing changes, you come one day, I'm 90. We may not be in this building. Do you get my point? I mean, we may be somewhere else, but I will still be there. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been going very, very fit at the age of 90. Don't be sitting on any chair. I will start again. Genesis chapter 26. The same one you read today. I mean, I'm not going to change anything. No, I'm not planning to change anything. You know why? He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Let's talk more about that. Don't forget what he said. Now, remember what I said? The Lord will come. But he said, be occupied. The first stage, I said, is the stage of what? Occupation. Occupation. The first stage is the stage of occupation. It's interesting that when Samuel arrived in the house of Jesse, David was not around. He did not go for a Valentine party. I hope you know that. He was somewhere where he was tending the sheep of his father. He was occupied with being a shepherd until Samuel came. That was what he was doing. And I dare to say, let me quickly add this one also. Don't think it is the children of professors that will own universities. I hope you know that. It is not so. Don't even let it cross your mind. You know the interesting thing that I know? Let's take ministry, because I'm very keen in observing ministries, because that's where my own primary calling is, all right? I have noticed that there's virtually no, there may be one or two. Thinking about it, there's next to no prominent minister you know worldwide whose father was a prominent minister. Think for a moment and prove me wrong. You may hear that one of them, the father was a clergyman, that's all you know. Just think. Locally, internationally, just be thinking. In Nigeria, whose Bishop Oyedepo's father? The man was a Muslim. He became a Christian partly to honor his son, because his son was so successful. The man said, my God, let's follow this boy to church, man. And for your information, Bishop Oyedepo said his father was extremely wicked to him, because he was sickly as a little boy. The man didn't believe he would amount to anything in life. It's as an older man that the father will now come. You know, he wants a move family meeting to his house. Why won't you move family meeting to his house? If he's younger, why will you do family meeting? The whole family is now around, you know. Oh, God, that man will live long in Jesus' name. You don't know who the father of Iya Adeboye was. You have no idea. Just think about it. You go internationally, the same thing. What I'm trying to say is that don't even imagine that second phase of life we're talking about has anything to do with what your natural heritage is. Nothing. I say to you again today, only one thing can affect that stage. That prayer you will say at the head of your bed one morning. You look out in the window in the morning, looking at the sky, and you pray like Jabez. Even if you forget it, don't worry about it. One day, the Lord will by himself remind you of that prayer so that you'll be able to encourage the generations that will come after you. But he said, until I come, you must be what? Occupied. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. But our time has gone again, as happens very frequently. But like I said, I'll take some extra time. I think I'll leave it. I'll finish it next time. Now he said, Psalm 37. Of course, I don't have to emphasize that. Do not fret because of evildoers, and be not envious toward wrongdoers. He said, don't worry about those people. They will quickly fade. They are not the ones we are talking about. You trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. When we quote, when I was referring to some points that Pastor Kwaju made. It was so beautiful the way he said it. He said, have a skill. And I talked about it, I think the week before that, all right? That there must be something that people know you for in that first stage you are talking about. There must be. There must be. You can't just be walking around in life and say, what does that man do? We don't know. We're not saying anything that gives him a lot of money, but your face must have an identity concerning how it's blessing other people. They will say, if you want to eat the best fish in town, go to him. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. It can't just be that something like that. People will say, you want to write a business proposal? Let me call somebody for you. I remember a friend of mine, I've told you this story before. One big man needed something done. He was talking to another very big man. And that very big man looked and said, listen, this thing, if you want somebody to do it for you, who will do it honestly? Call this particular fellow. That guy was a young university lecturer in this town, driving around his old car, just moving around, just doing his business, when his phone rang on the road somewhere. Hello? Hello? Who's this? I believe I'm talking with so-and-so person. Yes, who's on the line? My name is, you heard the name. Are you getting my point? They are going on the road. Say, please, this is Otumba, what's the name of that? I'm just giving an example. Let's use another name that every Nigerian knows. Eh?
Mike Adenuga.
He said, okay, this is Otumba Mike Adenuga. You're like 419. Get behind me. You know that kind of... you know, that kind of thing. Like, why would Mike Adenuga be calling me? What do we have in common? I'm serious. He was like, what? Before he could, you know, hang the phone, the man said, look, so-and-so person gave me your number. Just mention the other big man's name. He said, okay, that guy knows me, yes. He said, please, can you see me in my house? This thing, there's something I need to discuss with you. The guy just said, no problem, sir. He didn't tell him he was in Enugu. The guy's house is in VIA in Lagos. He just drove to the airport, parked the car there. And I begged me, find me ticket. Big man wants it. He said, look, I didn't tell the man I was in Enugu. I begged, why? The man was like, don't bother. Why should I not bother? He did not tell the man he was not in Lagos. He told the man, no problem, sir. Just ran to the airport, looked for money. Oh, yeah, give me a ticket. Where's the next plane that's coming? Jump inside it and land in Lagos. Rush to VI. Okay, you sent for me. And I heard. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And I finished my message for today. Maybe we'll continue that. I'm watching my time. I always liked telling the story. That was the day he told me that they had to do something here. And the man kept him waiting for 2 hours. And to say sorry for keeping him waiting for 2 hours, he dashed him 200,000 naira. That's why he called me and said, man of God. That's why he called me and said, man of God. Well, you have been sending me what account number. I need to send some offering. I said, boy, waiting here for? He said, boy, is he waiting here for? No. So big man kept him waiting. Just like we said we'll go there at 3, the man came at 5. Why did I tell the story? He was on the road somewhere in Enugu when his phone rang. Be occupied until I call you. Are you getting my point? Be occupied. And that's what I wanted to emphasize today. I believe I made my point. Anyway, we'll continue talking about it next time. Faithfulness. That's what I want to talk about. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. That is, I do this thing as it is God's work. Not how much am I making from it. My mate put in this amount of hours. I know how much they get. That is the wrong attitude towards life that we are talking about. Wrong attitude. For all this work, what am I getting? It's the opposite of faithfulness. You're not being faithful. Faithful means to be dependable, to be trustworthy. Not to respect one person, you know, against another. We'll talk about it, because now I told you that my main thrust for this beginning of this year is to get very practical. We've discussed the blessing. We all have this blessing in heaven. When we don't cooperate with God so as to build that body on this earth, is when the blessing can flow into it. We need to understand that is how we behave in the first phase of life that decides how God will handle us in the second phase of life. he said something to them, occupy with this. I like the way my Bible puts it. With this. That is when God is judging, he knows if he gave you 50 naira to occupy with and you multiply it to 500, you are not inferior to the man he gave 1 million who made it 10 million. Are you getting my point? It is what you do with this. And the principle is not, let me try and multiply the money. Let me try and multiply the money. No. It is in faithfully applying the laws of the kingdom that he taught you. Because those laws, they are not the ones you will use to thrust yourself into phase two. Phase two is when he comes. For many people here, phase two is when God really takes you into political office. Yeah, you never in your life plan to be a politician. In fact, every time you hear of PDP, you're angry. All these people, you're angry. You're just angry. What's wrong with these people? All the angels are smiling. Say, when we come back, you are going to be a senator. You are going to be a governor. You are going to be... That is, they are waiting for you. Don't worry. For that reason, you cannot plan your life to that level. So you say, but meanwhile, what is it? I have given you a small business. Do this business. Apply all the principles of vision. When you want to paint a picture, paint a picture. You know, I tell people, you know, you are working in a place, you are painting picture of things that you are not doing yet. In that place where you are working, let me say something to you quickly. I just feel like dropping this. There is an express, you know, Christians must understand. He said, whatever you are doing, do it as unto the Lord. Remember that? He said, whatever it is, do it as unto the Lord. He now said, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, nobody will give you your own. I don't think most human beings don't know it. You know what it means? There is a shop. You are working there. It's not your shop, but you are the manager there. God said, you know how I'm going to judge you? Is in how well you make this person rich. I don't know. You know, there are some things that are so clear in the scriptures that we overlook them. God said it clearly. Life is in stages. I will put you in a place where beyond your salary, you're not going to get anything. But I am going to judge you by how much you, Jacob, is making Laban rich. For information, Laban defrauded Jacob 10 times. He will promise Jacob one thing today. He will give Jacob another thing tomorrow. But even he testified that the only reason why I'm rich is that Jacob is working for me. If you don't have that testimony, you have a problem. Even if your boss is a government. Government is not a person, it's a set of rules and regulations that can be very, very complicated, frustrating. But God said, let me still see how well you will perform while working under that situation. As I'm judging you, I'm not judging you with how much money you make. I'm not judging with how much you can... You know, people are prophesying about things that will not bring destiny to pass in their lives. They're waking up every morning, in the name of Jesus, I receive the car. It's black. Amen. Praise God. He has four tires. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has an engine. It's working. And you're waking up every morning. And God will never promote you because you effectively prophesied a car into existence. Other than you wake up every morning, you want to take a picture of one sister from a distance, put it on the wall, and you are claiming her by faith. Even if it works, it won't promote your destiny. So what am I saying? Where are you working now? What are you doing now? It might be your private business. You're working somewhere. You're working for government. That is what you need prophecy for. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is what you need prophecy for. You are going to work. See all these governmental entanglements that make things slow down in civil service. It will not entangle my department this week in the name of Jesus. Progress will come. Progress will come. He said, do that and every other car shall be added unto you. But we Christians have gathered around our needs. Our problems. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And where we do shall we be clothed? And we are feeling very spiritual because we have one or two testimonies. I hope you got my point. Let me say this and I close with it. The Lord will come. I'm not sure you heard me. I said the Lord will come. When I say he will come, I don't mean he will come back to earth. That one is for sure. I don't mean he will come back to people's lives. I mean he will come into your life. A time will come. This is not, I'm not praying, I'm warning you ahead of time. I'm informing you that a time will come that those things that are just simple dreams in your wild imaginations, they will come to pass in your life. Amen. One day, what did I say? It might be 10 years, it might be 25 years, But one day. What did I say?
One day.
Tell your neighbor, one day.
Get ready.
He will come. Let's add one more thing to it. What will he find you doing? Ask the person. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you.